Chapter 2. More Strange People. Then there was Miss Trefusis. She was a very old, thin woman with grey skin. She owned a coffee farm in Kenya. "All English people in Africa are strange," she told me. "But you're not strange," I said. "Oh, yes, I am," she said, without a smile. "Everyone on this ship is strange. You don't see it because you're young. Young people don't see things. They think only about themselves." I saw Major Griffiths and his wife running round the ship naked, I said.
"That's normal," Miss Trefusis said.
"I didn't think so," I replied.
"You're going to be surprised," Miss Trefusis said. "Lots of English people who live in Africa are strange. That's where you're going, isn't it?"
"Yes," I said.
"You'll become strange," she said, "like the rest of us."
Miss Trefusis was eating an orange, but not the normal way. She took it from the bowl with a fork. Then she carefully took away the skin and ate the orange, all with a knife and fork. "Do you always eat an orange like that?" I asked.
"Of course."
"May I ask why?"
"I never touch anything I eat with my fingers," she said.
"Wow, really?"
"Never."
"Why not?" I asked.
"Fingers are dirty."
"But you wash your hands."
"I don't completely clean them," she replied. "Nor do you. Fingers are horrible, dirty things. Just think about what you do with them."
I sat there and thought about all the things I did with my fingers.
"Toes are even worse," she said suddenly. "They're the worst of all."
"Worse than fingers?"
"Oh, yes. Fingers are horrible and dirty, but toes are worse."
"But we don't eat with our toes," I said.
"I never said that you did," she replied crossly.
"Then why are they so bad?" I continued.
"I hate them. I hate them. I cannot look at them."
"Then how do you look after your toes?"
"I don't," she said. "I have people who do it for me. People who work for me."
"Ah, yes, of course. Do you employ many people on your farm?" I asked her.
"About 50. I buy them all shoes. No one is allowed to work for me without shoes. It costs a lot of money, but I want to do it."
I liked Miss Trefusis. She was intelligent, kind and interesting, not like Major Griffiths. He was an unkind man who might leave you in the sea. Both of them, of course, were very strange. But no one was as strange as UN Savory. UN Savory was the man I shared a cabin with on the ship. The cabin was a little room with two narrow beds, one on top of the other. When I saw UN Savory's name, I could not believe it. In English, unsavory means not at all nice. One evening before dinner, I was lying on my bed and UN Savory was getting ready. He thought that I was asleep, but I was awake. I saw him take some white powder out of a little box and put it on his shoulders. What was he doing? Before dinner, everyone had a drink in the bar. Yuen Savory was sitting at a different table from me, but I could still see the powder on his shoulders. Then a strange thing happened. Yuen Savory cleaned the powder off his shoulders with his fingers and said in a loud voice,
"Dandruff, I hate it. Does anyone know how to stop it?"
A tea farmer from Assam called Unsworth said,
"Put your hair in ice-cold water every morning for 5 minutes. You've got a fine head of hair, but soon you'll have no hair. You do as I say, old man."
"They're all strange," I told myself for the 100th time. But I was beginning to think that Yuen Savory was the strangest of all. Why did he want people to think he had dandruff? 3 days later, as we passed through the Suez Canal, I got the answer. That evening, I opened my bedroom door and saw a strange man sitting on Yuen Savory's bed. The man had no hair at all. After a moment, I saw that it was actually Yuen Savory himself. Without any hair, he looked like a different man, 15 years older, shorter and smaller.
"Why are you here?" he shouted.
"I'm very sorry," I said. He stared at me angrily. He was holding a black wig.
"I'll go," I said.
"No," he shouted. "You've seen it now. You're not leaving this room until you make me a promise. You must promise that you won't tell anyone."
"I won't tell anyone," I said. "I promise." On his bed, I could see three more black, hairy wigs.
"You think I'm strange?" he said.
He was not angry anymore. He sounded tired.
"No," I replied. "A man can do what he likes."
"It's not because I want to look good," he said. "It's business. I work in the Punjab in India. That is the home of the Sikhs. Sikhs believe that hair is very important. They never cut their own hair, and they do not think well of a man with no hair."
"Then I think you're very clever," I said. I had to live in this little room with Yuen Savory for many more days, and I did not want to make him angry again.
"I work hard to make the wig look like my own hair," Yuen Savory said.
"You mean the dandruff?"
"You saw it?"
"Of course I saw it. It was very clever. But why do it here? There are no Sikhs on this ship."
"You never know," he said. "You never know who might be listening."
The man was very strange. I pointed at his bed and said, "I see you have more than one wig."
"One is not enough," he said. "I always carry four."
"You're forgetting that hair grows, old man. Each wig is longer than the other. I wear a longer one every week." "What happens after you've worn the longest one?"
"Ah," he said, "that's the best bit."
"I don't understand."
"I just say, 'Does anyone know someone who can cut my hair?' And the next day, I start again with the shortest wig."
"But Sikhs don't believe that hair should be cut."
"I only do that with Europeans," he said.
I looked at him. The man was totally strange. "It's very clever," I said. "I won't tell anyone."
"Thanks."
I flew out of the cabin and shut the door. And that is the story of U.N. Savory. The SS Mantola. The Suez Canal.